Let's take our Bibles and look once again at Jeremiah chapter 25. Last time I read from verse 1 down to verse 29, and in this reading and commentary, I'll read from verse 30 down to verse 38. Again, this is the Lord through Jeremiah foretelling the judgment that would come upon the people of Judah by God raising up the nation of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, to come and devour the land because of Judah's idolatry, destroy not only the temple, but the city. And so Jeremiah was raised up to prophesy during this time. We read in verse 30 of Jeremiah 25, "Therefore prophesy thou against them all these words, and say unto them, The Lord shall roar from on high, and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He shall mightily roar upon his habitation. He shall give a shout as they that tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth." It's interesting how this is put here, that the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, that's Jehovah God, Father, Son, and Spirit, shall roar from on high. This shows him to be sovereign and ruling. And notice, utter his voice from his holy habitation. Yes, there was that temple there in Jerusalem that was a picture of his habitation on earth. And notice how the words are, he shall mightily roar upon his habitation. So he'll roar from his holy habitation, that is, in glory, upon the temple. It's really what he's talking about there. And bring judgment, not only against the city of Jerusalem, but against that very temple. This was what the Jews could not believe, that God would ever do this. And yet they had turned it into an idolatrous place of worship. And so the Lord purposed to destroy it and then rebuild it 70 years later. But this was a judgment that was to come not just on Jerusalem, but here, as it says, against all the inhabitants of the earth. So the Lord raised up Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon, to go against many other nations surrounding Israel, to bring his judgment and condemnation on them as also being idolatrous nations. And this was the question that Habakkuk had, because he also lived during this time. How is it that God, with pure eyes than to behold iniquity, could actually go against a nation like Israel? But what the Lord showed him was that when he had finished with punishing the nation of Judah that remained there in Israel and all these other inhabitants, and the Lord would in turn come against the nation of Babylon and destroy that nation. So what we're seeing here is how God is sovereign in all that he does. A lot of people like to think of God as being sovereign in salvation, but he's also sovereign in condemnation. There are vessels of mercy, and then there are vessels of wrath. And notice here also, because it's so easy to read over this quickly, in verse 30 when it says, "The Lord shall roar from on high." What roars? Well, that's a lion. I believe that what we find in Scripture is that everything, even before Christ came into this world, everything that he did through the hand of his Son. And here's the roar of the Lion of Judah, who was yet to appear on earth for the salvation of his people, but here going forth by this means to conquer and to exercise the will of his Father. And the shout is very picturesque here. He shall give a shout as they that tread the grapes. Whenever it was harvest season and they'd bring in the grapes and put it in the wine press and then get down in it and stomp. there was a loud noise as everybody joined in. And this is the language that is used here, not of a celebration per se, but nonetheless a loud shout of righteous judgment of God as he tread the grapes of his wrath. In other words, bringing punishment upon these nations. And it says, a noise, verse 31, shall come even to the ends of the earth. All the nations that existed at that particular time, the Gentile nation, the ends of the earth, not just on Judah, that there would come up a noise. This would be the noise of weeping because of the slain of the Lord. And it would be from one end of the earth to the other. This is a God that this world does not know, but he is still the same God on the throne today, exercising his will and bringing judgment on nations, whether it be through war or famine, whether it be through disaster. It is the Lord who directs it all. And notice why it says in verse 31, for the Lord hath a controversy with the nations. This is the state of sinners before God, is that they are sinners and God is holy. And so therefore, there is a controversy with the nations. And that's the reason why it was necessary that God send his son into this world to pay the sin debt, that he might redeem and justify everyone that he purposes save out of those nations. But until Christ had settled that matter, the debt, with his life, there was a controversy even with those that were the elect. The law had to be satisfied before the sinner could be justified. So here it is, he will plead with all flesh, but not plead, here it's in the sense of judgment, plead against, it's like a courtroom, bringing the plea against, and he will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord. So very specific judgment against those that are reprobate. We know that there were those that were the remnant, according to his grace that he preserved, but nonetheless, this judgment was to pass upon all these nations, and men like Jeremiah and Habakkuk and Zechariah and all of these, they lived through this judgment, but God's hand preserved them, just like those that are saved. They've been through the judgment in Christ, and therefore, the judgment has fallen on him and not on them. But nonetheless, every sin has to be judged. Every sinner, either in Christ, which is the blessing of God's elect, or in condemnation, bearing that wrath themselves. So verse 32, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation. When he talks about evil there, he's talking about, again, his judgments going forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coasts of the earth, and the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented, look at this, neither gathered nor buried. In other words, where they fell, that is where they would lie, and their bodies would decompose. There wouldn't be any to bury them because they'd all be slain. Notice here it says, they shall be dung upon the ground. Some are appalled when they read that kind of language, but those that are don't know themselves as sinners before a holy God, because that's all any of us are. God is just in his condemnation. And it would be as though the Lord were taking these sinners and spreading their bodies like refuse, like manure on the surface of the ground. Such is the wrath of God. We need to read the scriptures and see just how holy God is. And so that's directed at the people. But now in verses 34 to 38, this is addressed against the shepherds. Howl ye shepherds and cry and wallow yourselves in the ashes. Notice the language even there, like a pig wallowing in the ashes. He principal of the flock. Who's he talking about here? Well, he's talking about the kings, the leaders. He's talking about the priests. He's talking about the prophets, any that have been in positions of authority, that here they would then endure this wrath of God. For the days of your slaughter and of your dispersions are accomplished, and ye shall fall like a pleasant vessel. In other words, that vessel that sits up on the mantle that looks so beautiful, but when it falls, it just breaks into a million pieces. That's how he's describing these and his judgment that he'll bring against these shepherds, false shepherds. It says, and the shepherds shall have no way to flee, nor the principal of the flock to escape. The voice of the cry of the shepherds and an howling of the principal of the flock shall be heard, for the Lord has spoiled their pasture. You see the picture there? Here's these shepherds. And for a while, they're taking advantage of the people, not pointing them to the Lord Jesus Christ, which is what the temple represented, doing their own pleasure. And then the Lord spoils their pasture. And the peaceable habitations are cut down because of the fierce anger of the Lord. He hath forsaken his covert as the lion. Here again is a picture of a lion coming out of its cave, roaring. But when it does, it's going forth to destroy. Their land is desolate because of the fierceness of the oppressor. You might read that and say, well, the oppressor was Babylon, and so the land is desolate because of the fierceness of the oppressor. But I read that as God himself being the oppressor, that the land is desolate. Yes, he used Babylon to bring destruction to that land, but it was God who was directing it all the while, and because, notice, of his fierce anger. Such is the wrath of God. If the Lord has been pleased to deliver us from his wrath, it's only because of his mercy and grace, because we don't deserve any better. And certainly because of the work of the lion gone forth to roar, that lion of Judah, which is none other than Christ himself. Gracious Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the reading of it. I pray that we would be stirred in our hearts as we've heard it read. Know just how just and holy a God you are, but to have mercy, what a grace that is, mercy shown for Christ's sake, and may we never take that for granted. I pray that you would continue to bless our time of worship and give us eyes for Christ to glorify you through him, and I give you all the praise and honor and glory in his precious name. Amen.